2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 8 is our text tonight. Thank you for standing. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's on them. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I want to read that again. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. I want you to notice this right here. Unto all them also that love his appearing. Praise God. Paul clearly had a reason to rejoice in the goodness of his Savior. He understood that through all of the things he had come through, there was soon going to be a reason for the ultimate moment of rejoicing. But aren't you thankful that our Heavenly Father saw 2,000 years later down the road, there'd be a church that needed to be reminded tonight, the Lord also has a crown of righteousness ready unto all of them also that love his appearing. I want to preach to us tonight with the help of the Lord on something better than a plaque. Something better than a plaque. Amen. You can be seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. A few days ago, I was working with Sarah, and she was, we were cleaning a house, and one of her clients there has a plaque from their company, and a real big to-do in honor of all your years of service and gratitude, and started from the ground up, and we want to say thank you, had her name there, and I thought, as I was looking at that, I thought how nice that is, and many of you have been in circumstances or situations where somebody has been given an honorary plaque, and you know, really, you can't quantify all of the years of service and labor and time and energy given in just by giving this little, whether it's glass or wood or metal or whatever it is, a little plaque to sum it all up. But it is a nice gesture, isn't it? When somebody offers you something that says, hey, we took notice. We understand you put in blood, sweat, tears. Amen. You missed things that might have been exciting to you for the sake of getting the job done. You did clock in when you were supposed to, and you stayed until the job was finished. We want to let you know we're going to give you a plaque. Amen. Feels pretty good. A few years ago, I was working in one of our schools, and throughout the course of that year, had the opportunity to work amongst the FFA, Future Farmers of America. Y'all, yeah. I mean, I'm about the least qualified farmer in this place. But at the end of the year, being part, helping out with the organization, they gave me a plaque. It said, "You are an honorary member of the FFA." I just about went out and bought cowboy boots that day. Problem was, I didn't know what was a good brand or a bad brand, so I saved my money. Amen. But I got a nice plaque. Spelled my name wrong and everything, but I got a nice plaque. I'm an honorary member of the FFA. Woo! Feels good, don't it? I mean, what if tonight Brother Hurst had a stack of plaques and a table set up with a really fancy curtain hanging over it, and he just said, "I've got some plaques for you tonight for the members of Union Road Pentecostal Church." And Brother George, what if he came to you and said, Brother George, for all those years of faithfulness, I want to give you a plaque. Wouldn't that feel pretty good? That would feel pretty good. Sister Judy, what if he came up and said, I got a plaque for all those days you changed that church sign. I appreciate that. Gave you a plaque. Wouldn't that feel good? I mean, we could go down the list of people in this church who for years you've been faithful in the small things. For years you've been diligent to show up, do the job, make sure somebody had an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. I mean, all the days, Brother Danny, that you've been vacuuming, and Sister Eileen, that you've cleaned the bathrooms, and I know that's not a job everybody's beating down the door for, but all the days that God saw you being faithful, what if tonight everybody just got a plaque for being awesome church members? Right? You think attendance would rise? I don't know, Pastor, we might need to study this out. Can I tell you that God has been keeping a record of some things happening around here for about the last 90 years. And He's been recording some things in heaven. And all those moments when you were faithful to the house of God, but you were dead tired because you worked your brains out that day, but you still brought your family to the house of God. Your heavenly Father was keeping a record. And one of these days, every moment that you thought it would be better off if I didn't even go, but you got up and you went anyway. One of these days, when you know that every trial and every tribulation and every time you felt beat up and discouraged, it's all gonna be worth it because Jesus, our Heavenly Father, is going to give a crown of righteousness to His people. Hallelujah. I tell you, brothers and sisters, that's going to be better than any plaque you could ever get on this side of eternity. But I've come to remind you of a few things tonight before we get to that moment when everything has been worth it. Before that moment comes when all of your life's adventures and decisions and victories and failures, when that time comes in the speck of eternity, but when you're standing before Jesus Christ, I've come to tell you before that happens, and it's been worth it all, we've still got some choices to make if we're gonna make it to that moment. Hallelujah. Paul, he's talking to Timothy here. Paul, I believe, is understanding that the days are numbered ahead. And in giving his final life's charge, he says, Timothy, I've got some things I need to tell you. They're going to be profitable to you if you'll do them. First thing I want to tell you, Timothy, and I would say this to our church, fulfill your calling. Fulfill your calling. We have segregated the will of God and the call of God to the youth group, to young people, and to anybody that steps foot on the platform. But God has a calling for every one of the individuals under the sound of my voice. He has a plan for your life, and He wants to use you to do it. Hallelujah. You got a calling on your life. It does not matter if you are painting a house or preaching the gospel. The ministry flows through the children of God. He wants to use His church in the last days to do a greater work than has ever been accomplished up to this point in history. We've got young mothers in here that you are so tired you can't hardly see straight. And you wonder, what in the world is my ministry right now? Can I tell you, the greatest ministry you have right now is raising future men and women for Jesus Christ. God will use you and bless you. We've got men in here. You work and we've got ladies too, but you work in just awful conditions. We hear some of the stories of the things that you endure on a daily basis.
and yet you're still faithful to the house of God, can I tell you the call of God on your life is to take the light of Jesus Christ into the factory, into the job, into the lunchroom, and live out what a man of God ought to be, and that is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I've come to tell us tonight, church, we got a calling on our life to take Jesus to the world. Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Repute, reprove, rebuke. We don't really like that one too much. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That means be patient with people that don't get it the first time they come in. Well, glory. Guys, we got a calling. And when people come to the house of God, are they going to see a church that's ready to fulfill the call of God in their life to lead them to Christ? Or are they going to see a church that's just ready to punch in their ticket now? Let's coast on into heaven. I don't believe God has a plan like that for Union Road. I believe His will is for us to be active, vibrant members of the kingdom of God and doing a work for Him. Fulfill your calling. Young people, if God is calling you to the ministry, any other life choice will lead you down a road of dissatisfaction. You will never be able to outrun the call of God on your life. It will never become a place of fulfillment. But I can tell you, if you will say yes and surrender your life to the call and the will of God, you will find a life of adventure and a life of joy. Secondly, before we get to that moment where everything's better than a plaque, we're going to have to remember to follow Christ and not our culture and not our crowds. We are living in an age that is unprecedented right now, but God does not make mistakes. Brother Hoffman, He could have placed you in 1839, but He placed you for this moment, right here, right now. We are so distraught because of what we see. And as a parent, believe me, I am with you on the things that we are guarding our children against, that we are teaching them, the things that are coming in the world that we know are evil. But God does not make mistakes. And we are well able, through the power and the help of the Holy Spirit, to lead our families behind Jesus Christ. It might be against the culture. It might be against the grain. But you will find that He will bless His people when we follow Him. Our culture does not define our church. Our church ought to define our culture. And this is where we have messed up in America. We have allowed a cultural anomaly to assign its identity on the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God has ceased to assign its culture upon the world around it. God wants us to follow Christ. And when we follow Christ, we will be ambassadors for the kingdom of God. But it's hard. Yeah, it is. Young people, following Christ will not be for the faint of heart in this last hour. We have coasted for generations. We've coasted. It has been so easy to blend in. You know, you might have worked with somebody 30 years and they have no idea you ever went to church. You're just a good guy, good lady. We have been able to blend in, but now the blending is stopped. And we are seeing the division of the sheep and the goats before our eyes. And Pastor told us already tonight, you that are going to be holy still. Amen. We must follow our Savior, Jesus Christ, all the way to eternity. He will never lead us astray. Christ will never cause us to be put into a place where we regret making the decision to follow Him. The only question will be, is my value of Christ's opinion of me more important than the value of the world's opinion of me? B.H. Clendenin said, the world will think you're a fool, or God will. Who would you rather think you're a fool? Church, I know. We feel the pressure of the world around us. It would be like having an elephant in the room and acting like it's not there to say that nothing is happening around us. We see it on a daily basis. We are living in the drug overdose capital of America. You're telling me that we are not seeing the moving of evil, but we cannot allow the enemy to put fear into our hearts where we stop advancing as the church. I promise you, if we will get behind Christ, if we'll make Him the focal point of our worship, if we'll make Him the focal point of our outreach, of our witnessing, every bit of our life, we will see the church grow. Another program will not help us unless Jesus is the focal point. Because we can fellowship and hang out all day long and it will never change the heart of a life that is bound by sin. But I promise you, if you take Jesus into Drexel, Jesus will do the work that you and I could never do. If we will live with Christ in us, shining through us, we will make an impact for the kingdom of God. Follow Christ, not the culture. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, great author and pastor, was born in Germany, raised there, and began to see the effects of what was coming with the Nazi regime and other things, and left the country and began to pastor somewhere else. I believe it was England. I might be wrong on that. It was England for a little while. The Lord began to deal with his heart about his homeland. He began to see the effects of what was happening to the German church that was cowering in fear to propaganda, cowering in fear to ideologies of hate, cowering and just assimilating in with ideas of things because they didn't want to buck the system. It was easier for their church world to just blend in than it was to stand up and say, no, Hitler's wrong, this is wrong. And so he watched as a whole church nation began to shift its allegiances. And it tore him up, and the Holy Spirit began to deal with him. And he said, I've got to go back. I've got to go back to Germany. I've got to go back to the church. And the people began to beg him, no, you can't. If you go, they'll kill you. He said, it doesn't matter. I've got to go and make a difference. He wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship, and several other works. He was arrested by the Nazis, placed in a prison. Several days before the Allies were able to free that prison, the Nazis drug him out. He thought he was going to be set free. Had his bags, had a manuscript, I believe the story says, that he had written. And he walked out and saw that it was a time for execution, and he knew he's going to pay the ultimate price. A man that was so disturbed by his country's church, he was willing to leave comfort, safety, and march headlong right back into the battle. He wasn't a soldier. Well, he was. Just of a different country. And beloved, you and I will make decisions here in the next few days of whether or not we will be ambassadors and soldiers for Jesus Christ, or whether we will march to the beat of a different drum. Our pastor has been preaching to us that there is coming an hour where you and I are going to be making life-altering decisions. And are we going to bow just because others do? And we've heard the message of the hour that Jesus is coming soon. But beloved, you and I are going to make personal choices of who we serve. And I got to tell you with all my heart, I believe we are in the midst of a group of people. You have endured. You have stuck with it. You've been faithful in the small things. And I promise you, if we'll hold out, God's going to make you ruler over the big things. He's got a crown of righteousness waiting for those who are faithful. I don't think God's done with revival in America. Hallelujah. And I, for one, want this church, and I want my life, and I want my family to be on the cutting edge of what the Spirit of God is doing in our hearts and in our nation. Amen. We got to have to stick with Jesus if we're going to see that happen. There's a lot of things going to try for your attention, but I promise you they will leave you feeling empty. Lastly tonight, before we get there, before we get our crown, we're going to have to finish this course. All right? I want to ask a real honest question tonight, and this is going to take some bravery. But if you've been discouraged in the last month, would you just raise your hand? Anybody, you've been discouraged? Look at that. You know what the enemy would love to do? He'd love to get that on your mind every moment of the day. This is how it's always going to be. This is it. Go ahead and lay down, church, because this is where we're at. We got this far, and this is where the road stops. We're not going to see any more good things, and we're not going to see any more healings. We're not going to see anybody get saved. Hey, man, this thing's done. Pentecost is stupid. We might as well change course. This is where it's going to end. Hey, listen, God knows right where we're at. We got to finish this thing. And I don't think we got to finish it crawling on our hands and knees and just begging God to drag us into heaven. I feel like running tonight. I feel like getting a second wind. I feel like asking the Lord to purify the temple and go ahead and fill us with one more move of the Holy Spirit so that we can finish. I want to finish strong. I want to finish strong for my children. I want to finish strong for my wife. I want to finish strong for our youth group. I want to finish strong as a representative of Union Road Pentecostal Church. I dare not think about that this church would die under our watch after so many years of it being successful. I say we ought to ask God for one more outpouring, one more move of the Spirit, one more godly touch so that we make it all the way to heaven. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I've kept the faith. I'd like to insert some just life reality. But Timothy, you haven't yet. Paul's telling us, hey, I did my job. And we've had some great elders and adults and people go on before us. And they laid the road down. And young people, they gave us opportunity. We're sitting in air-conditioned building and padded pews, and we got everything under the sun we could ever want. And all I can hear him saying is, we did it, now what are you going to do? Hey, I've finished my course. I ran the race, but now it's your turn. Hey, who's going to be the next person to hit the prayer room faithfully every service? Who's going to be the next one to have an all-night prayer meeting praying for the pastor? Who's going to be the next one to lead somebody to the Lord? Who's going to be the next one that stands up in obedience and says, Pastor, I got a song. I've got to sing it. Who's going to do it? Because after all these years of a great cloud of witnesses that have come out of Union Road, I'd like to add some more to that company on the end of eternity and say, Lord, here we are. We weren't perfect. We didn't do everything just right, but God, we served you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And Lord, this is what we have to offer you. And I believe it's going to be a harvest of souls. Bus workers, you're faithful every Sunday. I hear that bus starting up, Brother Michael, Brother Luke, others, Sister Valerie. I've heard it when it's so cold outside. You almost have to beat the engine to get it to start, Brother Steve, and that's serious. I mean that. And yet you're faithful. God's been watching. He's been keeping a record. Sunday school teacher, your class is not a joke and it's not a waste. You're making an impact. And every time you study and every time you're faithful, I promise you God is watching. Our board members, you've been faithful to take care of the church. God's watching. Our musicians who time in and time out, you come and you play and you practice and you take time out of your own schedule to do things, and God's watching. He knows. He knows, and He wants us to finish well. He wants us to stay with it because there's gonna be a reward I promise you it'll be the greatest day of your life when you stand before your Savior and you say, Lord, this is who I am. But God, because of your grace, because of your love, I'm nobody. But God, you saved me. You changed my life. And Lord, this is what I have to offer you. It's going to be worth the church. Last night I was thinking, the music would you come? I've been raised in this church almost my whole life. 29 years. I've seen a lot of people that I look up to come and they've gone and entered their reward. I've seen folks that have come. They didn't stay. I've seen folks that came, but they got discouraged, Brother Hoffman, and they quit too soon. I've seen young people come and they got hurt. And instead of letting the Lord help them, they charted another course. But I've also seen people who I dearly love that you've been faithful. Every service that I've ever been here, you've been faithful. You were faithful when it was hard. You've been faithful when it seemed like it wasn't worth it. And yet you're still here. And it's not a waste. And it's not going to be a waste. Brother John, I believe with all my heart, we are about to see the greatest revival that this world has ever known in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But hear me, it will not come upon those who are not looking for His appearing. It will come upon a church that is watching, that has been faithful, that is ready, and that wants it. And I tell you, church, I'm looking at a congregation of people that have wanted it for so long. We're just about to taste glory. We're just about to see heaven. And I don't want to quit for anything. Glory to God. I got something for you that's better than a plaque. It's a crown of righteousness. I can't give it to you. Hallelujah. I can't give it to you. But the Lord told us He would. And He's not lied to me before, so I got good reason to believe He's not lying to me about this one. And it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it serving the Lord with all your heart. Dads, it's going to be worth it leading our families towards the things of God. Moms, it's going to be worth it leading your children to righteousness. Grandparents, it's going to be worth it staying consistent on the things you taught your children and now you're leading towards your grandchildren. It's going to be worth it, amen, to stay faithful over the ministries that God has given us. It's going to be worth it to stay with the stuff. It's going to be worth it to come to practice. It's going to be worth it to come to prayer meeting. It's going to be worth it to witness. It's going to be worth it to tell somebody Jesus cares about your soul. Oh, it's going to be worth it. Because Brother John, when He gives you that crown, every single thing that stood in your way up to that point is going to be so small, it's not even going to be on the radar. It's going to be worth it. I said it's going to be worth it. Hallelujah. It's going to be worth it, church. I've come to tell you tonight. I don't know if you got this yet, but it's going to be worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. We have allowed the enemy to rob us blind from our joy and our victory. We bought into the nonsense of what's going out there. It's time to remember what God's Word said. It's going to be worth it. Would you